Well, many of you will be aware that for the past number of weeks, we've been working our way through John's Gospel, and for a little bit of a change, we've been working our way through a book of the Bible at some pace. We tend to usually have been taking a few verses at a time. In most cases, we expound the scriptures, but I think it's been appropriate for this occasion, as we've been working through John's Gospel, to be taking a very broad approach and to be going through and even doing a chapter at a time. With John's Gospel, that's a challenge, I have to say, because there's so much in John's Gospel. And so we're going to be attempting to do the same thing again with John chapter 10, the whole of the chapter. In one message, in one sermon. Every single time I mention this, I keep on saying, boy, I've cut off an awful lot to do in one chapter. And certainly that's the case here. Some time ago, a few years ago, I think it was now, we worked through the I am statements of Jesus in John's Gospel. Well, two of them come here in John chapter 10. Actually, you're going to see in a minute, I'm going to argue there's kind of a third one as well. Now, we haven't got time to look at them in the same depth that we did, because we looked at each of the statements one at a time a few years ago. But nonetheless, they are key to understanding this chapter. In many ways, they're the framework of this chapter. So we're going to be looking at them one at a time very quickly and trying to draw out lessons from these I am statements. The obvious ones, verse 7. Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. Then verse 11 and verse 14, I am the good shepherd. They're clear, they're well known amongst Jesus' I am sayings. But I'm going to argue there's kind of a third one as well. It's not really one of Jesus' I am statements. In those statements, he uses a figure of speech, a picture, a metaphor to illustrate something of who he is and what he's come to do. It's not one of those really, but it does start with the word I am. And I'm talking about verse 36. Do you say of him whom the Father consecrated and sent into the world, you are blaspheming, because I said, I am the Son of God. Now it's different to his I am statements, but nonetheless it's important and it's significant. Earlier on he'd made a statement that was very clear claim to deity. So we're going to look at them in turn. We'll look at I am the door, we're going to look at I am the good shepherd, and then very finally and briefly we'll look at something about the fact that he claimed deity, claimed to be I am the Son of God. First of all, I am the door of the sheep. Now, I am the door and I am the good shepherd, only separated by a few verses. They're closely connected, as we'll see. How does this picture of the door relate to sheep and shepherding? Well, it's the door of the sheep pen that Jesus is speaking about. Now, you've got to understand something of the time in which Jesus was speaking. Shepherding was a hazardous job. And it was one thing to be a shepherd during the daytime and protecting the sheep then. It was another matter altogether doing it during the night time, when you couldn't see the threats that were coming to yourself and to the sheep in particular as well. So what would often happen with the shepherds was they would find, and there would be pens with big walls where the sheep couldn't jump over them, and neither could a predator either. And they would get the sheep into the pen, but often there would not be a door to the pen. It would just have an opening, and that was how the sheep got in and it got out. But that was obviously a danger. So what would happen is the shepherd would be at the door, ensuring the sheep don't wander off and ensuring a predator didn't come in. Often, in fact, they would fall asleep at the door, but nonetheless with a sense of awareness in case they sense some movement, and they would be ready in order to protect the sheep. Now that's important that we understand. That's what Jesus is talking about. We're not talking about a door as in our house. It's talking about the shepherd being at the door of the sheep and protecting the sheep. What lesson does that picture teach us? Well, first of all, it establishes the fact that there are very clearly two groups of people, aren't there? There are the sheep who are in the pen, and there's everyone else who is not in the pen. Jesus emphasizes that point. He keeps on talking about verse 3 and 4, his own sheep. He talks about when he has brought out all his own. He's establishing this difference. There's a distinction between the two. Later on, I am the good shepherd. He says, I know my own and my own know me. Jesus is making very clear this distinction between those who are his, those who are followers of his, and those who aren't. Now, I guess you could say there was a third group, because he does make reference to those who are, as yet, weren't of his, but were going to be at one point as well. But ultimately, there's just two groups. Those who know Jesus, and those who don't. Now, what is it that makes the sheep of Jesus' flock distinctive? Well, the fact that they follow him. They follow the shepherd. John 10, verses 2 to 5, we read. He talks about the sheep hear his voice. He calls them by name and leads them out. He goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. He talks about those who don't, and says, he talks about those who are thieves and robbers, and he says, my sheep don't follow them because they don't know his voice. They follow the shepherd. That is what is distinctive about Jesus' flock, Jesus' sheep. There's a distinction. They follow the shepherd. What's also distinctive about Jesus' flock is that they have life in all its fullness. John chapter 10, a beautiful and a wonderful verse talking about why Jesus came. He says, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Now, how countercultural, or how counter to the world's view of the Christian faith is that? You know, we sometimes think that being a Christian, knowing Christ, is about a load of things that we cannot do that we would quite like to do. Sometimes people say that is the case. Now, perhaps sometimes we give that impression as Christians. If that's the case, that's very sad. It is far from that. It's abundant life that we have in Christ. We're not called to a dour, lifeless, miserable existence. It's a rich, a full, a joyful life that we have. Fulfillment through life only comes in Christ. Jesus said about the sheep in verse 9, not just that they would be saved, but he says that they will go out and in and find pasture. Talking about the fulfillment of life. I am the door highlights the distinct identity that Christians have as members of Jesus' flock. And the fact that they will follow Jesus' words, and that they and only they know life in all its fullness. But there's more to it than that as well. We need to do something, he says. We need to enter by him. Looking again at verse 9, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. How can we have life in all its abundance? How can we be a part of this distinctive group, Jesus' flock? Well, it comes in verse 9, and it's exclusive. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. It's pretty clear. There's one means of salvation, and there is only one. Jesus is the way that we can be saved, and it is only by him. But the invitation is there. There is access, and there is access to anyone. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. The door is open. What's the whole point of doors? Well, the whole point of doors, of course, is for people to go through them. That's why we have them. Otherwise, you may as well have a wall. They're for access. Jesus is the door, and we are invited to go in. Now, it's a metaphor, of course. What he's talking about is by trusting in him means that we have forgiveness. It means that we know God. We have our relationship with him restored, and we will have life in all its abundance. But we have to enter. We're not to stand there looking at the door. We're not stand there just thinking about the door. We need to respond with faith and trusting in him. Jesus, the door, of course, also is a picture of security as well. It was a few years ago that Rachel and I had new windows and doors doors fitted to our house, particularly a new front door. We spent a bit of time looking at it, and yes, we were interested in the cosmetics and anything else, what suited our house, etc. But you know what the biggest thing was? How secure it was. And the fact it was a significant upgrade on our previous front door. You see, the house is only as secure as the door is. If our front door is dodgy, and people could put their elbow shoulder to it and be through it in a minute, then the house was never going to be secure. And of course, understanding something about how sheep pens worked in Jesus' day, it's abundantly clear how significant that entrance was, and the shepherd being in that entrance. There's security, there's protection. Why? Because Jesus is in the gap. He is there protecting his people. If Jesus is the door through which we have come, we can be assured. Yes, there are predators out to get us. In fact, in this passage, he talks about false teachers who are there trying to mislead people and to drag them away. But Jesus says that if he is the door, we are secure and we are safe. It says in John 10, I give them eternal life and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. Now that is security. In the hands of the eternal Son of God, in the hands of the Father God. God doesn't fail. Therefore we are secure. So there we have just one or two thoughts about I am the door. What about I am the good shepherd that Jesus claims here to be as well? Why is he called good? Well, if you look at the text, it's obvious. The thing that's connected with the good shepherd is this, is that he is the good shepherd because he is the one who lays down his life for the sheep. Look at verse 11 and look at verse 14 and 15 as well. And then verses 17 and 18 makes the same point. Jesus points out actually in verses 17 and 18 of that passage that he's going to hand himself over to die. They could not seize him. No one had the authority to take his life from him. They thought they did, but they didn't. He had to give it up of his own accord, and that was what happened. Why did he give his life up? Well, he did it for the sheep. He did it for us. But he didn't just die and stay dead. I lay down my life that I may take it up again, he said. Now the picture there is perhaps almost a mixing of the metaphors in a way. Why? Because the shepherd became the lamb. The lamb, the sacrifice offered for us to pay the price of our sin. Having paid that price as he died upon the cross at Calvary, he rose defeating death. He was victorious. And because he paid the price of our sin, and because he defeated death, we can know salvation. The shepherd searches out and saves the sheep. Verse 16, I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. Isaiah 53 is another passage in the Bible that speaks and uses this picture. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. That's a picture of us, sheep, wandering from the fold. We followed one another off into the paths of sin, if you like. And end result is we are far from God. We are fully lost. Have a look at what it says. The picture is painted in Luke 15, the parable of the lost sheep. What happens? It's wandered off. The shepherd leaves the 99 to find the lost sheep. The lost sheep can't find its own way back, but the shepherd will search it out. That's a beautiful picture of what it means to become a Christian. Do you know what that's what's happening? God is finding us. We often talk about people who found God. Well, I don't know whether or not that's always true, but if it is true, someone has truly come to faith in Christ, actually the reality is God has found them. It is the shepherd seeking out the sheep. And Jesus, the Good Shepherd, cares for his sheep, not just in rescuing them, not just in saving them. His care for them goes on throughout their lives too. He feeds the sheep, John 10, verse 9. They will go in and out and find pasture, speaking about being given all that we spiritually need to grow in grace and to know God more. He protects his sheep. We've already talked about that, and we talked about the door as well. To be a shepherd was to be the one who protected the sheep. It was fraught with danger. Thieves and wild animals, particularly in first century Palestine, would have been the case. And John talks about Jesus talks about, and John records the fact that a hired hand, someone who has been given that job, they weren't interested. They would flee when danger came, but the shepherd cares for the sheep and will protect them as well. He is a loving, caring shepherd, protecting his sheep, and we are secure in him. He leads the sheep as well, the good shepherd. John 10 verse 4, when he has brought out all his own, he goes before them and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Where does he lead them? Well, if you think about Psalm 23, which is another well-known passage using this metaphor, he leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Surely in goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He leads us in paths of righteousness. Our ultimate destination, by the grace of God, to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What a contrast to the way that we were before, lost, astray. A picture of that sheep having got hopelessly lost with no hope of returning. But now, by the grace of God, we are being taken to the house of God. So there we are, some lessons drawn out about Jesus the Good Shepherd and his grace to us. Finally, and most briefly, what does this passage say about the Son of God? Verse 36, there's a discussion going on. And we think that probably verses 22 to 42 was taken sometime later on than the opening verses of John chapter 10. Jesus is there. This time he's walking in the temple. And suddenly he's surrounded by these religious leaders. They want a showdown with him. That's the aim. They want a plain answer to the question of whether he is the Messiah. Now, if you've been with us for previous weeks, you'll know they've already had some pretty plain answers. They've already had it, but they're not willing to listen. But they surround him and ask him again, this time demanding the fact that he gives them a plain answer. What does Jesus say? Well, he reminds them of both his words and his works, which is about as plain an answer as you can get, bearing in mind what we've read of in the previous nine chapters of John's Gospel as well. But he also pointed out that they didn't understand because they weren't his sheep. They're not his followers, and that's why they can't see. They won't see who he is. He speaks of the security of his sheep, that they are secure in his and his Father's hand. Those who are truly trusting in Christ will not be lost. They will not perish. That both he and his Father would keep them safe was in itself more than just a hint at his deity, of course. But then he didn't just give a hint. He stated it in the most boldest way. If they want a plain answer, then they got it in verse 30. I and the Father are one. They requested a plain answer. Well, they got it. I and the Father are one. I think that's pretty clear. What is he saying? He and God the Father are one in essence. They are of the same essence. The Father is God and the Son is God. He couldn't really have put it much clearer than that. I and the Father are one. They'd got their plain answer. So what's their response? Do they believe? No. Their response is they try and stone him. Later on in the chapter, we lead them down to Avestim. But they didn't achieve on either account. Now, it's tragic, of course. They didn't. Jesus invited them to believe. He urged them to. And he pointed out that they should have, just based upon the miracles that he'd performed. Verse 37, if I am not doing the works of my Father, then do not believe me. But if I do them, even though you do not believe me, believe the works, that you may know and understand that the Father is in me and I am in the Father. What Jesus is saying there is, look, if you believe the signs, if you just believe what you've seen, what you've experienced, what you've heard, all of those things, the evidence that has been there in spades in front of you, just believe them. Because he knew that if they believed the signs, then ultimately what would happen is that would lead them to believe in him. But they wouldn't. They wouldn't respond with faith. They refused to. We've said before, haven't we, with the issue of some of the religious leaders of this day. The issue for them wasn't that they couldn't believe. It was a matter of the will. They'd seen plenty enough for them to respond in faith. But they wouldn't believe. They wouldn't respond. But Jesus clearly claims to be the Son of God. He claims to be in nature God himself. As we close this morning, it does beg a question for us, doesn't it? I mean, these are amazing statements of Jesus. How are we to respond to them? We see what happened to the religious leaders of Jesus' day and their rejection of him. How do we respond? I am the door. There are two groups of people. Those who know Christ, those who are safe and secure in him. And then there's the rest. Jesus speaks of those who are not of that fold who he was going to go out and bring in. But ultimately, we either are his or we are not. And it depends upon our faith in him. Have we placed our trust in him? Are we relying on something else to make us light with God? Can I ask the question this morning? Have we entered in, as Jesus talked about, by faith? Have we entered into that fold by faith in him? Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. Have we trusted ourselves to him? Do we know something of his care and compassion? Have we recognized that the good shepherd laid down his life for the sheep? He laid down his life for us. And we know from Isaiah 53, and the picture that's painted there, was that as he died upon that cross, he was paying the price of our sin. It says it time and time again in Isaiah 53. He did it for us. Have we entrusted ourselves, our eternal destiny, our status before God, to the Good Shepherd? Have we accepted his sacrifice on our behalf? And then finally, Jesus teaches the fact that he is the Son of God. Do we recognize that? Do we accept it to be the truth? Because as Jesus said to the religious leaders of his day, you know, if you recognize the signs, if you recognize he is who he is, then that has a massive implication. You've got to take seriously what he says. And that means that you've got to respond in faith and trust to him. Jesus said, I am the door. Have we entered in? Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. Have we entrusted ourselves to this good shepherd? Do we recognize that he is the Son of God? Do we recognize his authority? And have we bowed the knee before him? Let's pray. Eternal God, there is so much that we could say, Lord, about these words in John chapter 10. Lord, it seems so insufficient to work our way through it, Lord, so speedily, Lord. But Lord, there's great blessing in what we've read. We thank you for Jesus, the door. We thank you that merely by entering in, we know the security that comes from being of his flock. And Lord, we bless you and thank you for those of us who have trusted in him, that Lord, we have that assurance. We bless you and thank you, Lord, for this picture of Jesus, the good shepherd. Again, Lord, for the security that we have, that Lord, he will not be distracted, he will not lose us. Most especially, Lord, we thank you for the fact that the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Lord, we bless you for that. We thank you for his atoning death upon Calvary. And we thank you also, Lord, we worship you, that he is the Son of God. Lord, he is one who has authority. And Lord, we bless you for that. For Lord, that gives us confidence as we place our trust and our faith in him. Lord, we bless you for these lessons we've learnt this morning. We pray, Lord, you would help us to reflect upon them in the days to come. Lord, I pray that for any who do not yet know Christ, Lord, that even this day they would come and they would accept him, the Son of God, the door by which we must enter, and our loving, good shepherd. For we ask this in Christ's name. Amen. We're going to sing our final song.